Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wings Christian Fellowship Sunday Morning Adult Discussion Group. We love to talk about our Lord. We love to just soak him in and spread him out like peanut butter all over the bread. I'm getting old. I'm getting weird. Let me tell you. Oscar, lead us in a word of prayer this morning, would you?
All right. Father, we come into your presence right now, Lord Jesus, and we just ask you to have your way in this class. We ask you to just let the Holy Spirit be poured through us, and everything that we say would be to lift and magnify you.
Yes,
we give you all praise and all glory, and I ask you to just give everyone who hears this class ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to them today,
Jesus.
And let them go forth and begin to become the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, I believe, we are at when Jesus, okay, well, let's start at Matthew 14:13, okay? When Jesus heard of it, and right before that was the death of John the Baptist. So it was when Jesus heard that they had beheaded his beloved cousin, John the Baptist, he departed and by ship and went into a desert place. So you want to start there, whoever is reading today? This will be out of the classic, what is it you read? Amplified, the classic Amplified.
So we begin in Matthew chapter 14.
Verse 13.
When Jesus heard it, he withdrew from there privately in a boat to a solitary place. When the crowds heard of it, they followed him by land on foot from the towns. When he went ashore and saw a great throng of people, he had compassion, pity, and deep sympathy for them and cured their sick. When evening came, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote and barren place, and the day is now over. Send the throngs away into the villages to buy food for themselves." Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to recline on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and blessed and broke the loaves and handed the pieces to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 small hand baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, not including women and children. Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go for him to the other side, while he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs. A furlong is 1/8 of a mile distance from land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, between 3:00 to 6:00 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, is this a ghost?" And they screamed out with fright. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid."
Let's stop right there. Okay, we'll get to Peter next week. But I love so many things about this part here where Jesus had departed and all he wanted to do was go away and be alone. And but when the people he wanted to go to a desert place apart. But when the people heard about that, they followed him on foot out of the cities. They were just following Jesus, you know. And Jesus went forth and he saw that great multitude. Oh, that was, I mean, 5,000 men plus women and children. I can just see him out there on the hillside. It wasn't just on the hillside. I mean, they were all over the place. Can you, I mean, that is maybe not in today's time, but not too many years ago, maybe in the 50s or 60s, 5,000 plus 5,000 women plus kids would fill up a whole stadium of people for, you know, a football game here in the United States. Back in those days, 12,000, 13,000 people. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go unto the villages and buy themselves victuals," it says. They can get themselves vitalized. In the Passion, it says, later that afternoon, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "It's going to be dark soon. The people are hungry, but there's nothing to eat in this desolate place. You should send the crowds away to nearby villages to buy themselves some food." Now this is the best one. Verse 16. "They don't need to leave," Jesus responded. "You can give them something to eat." He didn't say he'd feed them. He said you, his disciples, can give them something to eat. And how was it that the Amplified said that? Buddy, I love that. That's a
verse 16.
Oh, Jesus said, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat."
Yeah, you give them something to eat. I'm sure that they were going, "What? What do you mean, Lord?" You know. Mm-hmm. And they answered, "But all we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Well, he says, "Let me have them." If we let Jesus have out of our lack, that all we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, we give them to Jesus. So I thought there we should go to the meaning of those numbers, because they were pretty good. The number 5, what is it, buddy?
Grace.
You put it away? That's okay. It has to do with God's grace.
Where did you do that?
I put it back in here.
That's okay. God's grace.
It's right here on the top.
If all we have is God's grace, and then we have 2 fish, what's the 2?
2 is union.
Union, division, or witnessing.
And it is 2 becoming 1. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful picture that paints. Because God said, "I'll never give my glory to another. We're not another."
What does it say about establishing the word of God out of the mouth of how many? 2 or 3
mm-hmm.
witnesses. Let every word be established.
Yes. So if we have the grace of God, we comprehend the grace of God. And it's not that we acquire the grace of God. We just need to accomplish the fact that we have the grace of God.
And if you add them two together, what do you got?
Seven.
Seven.
And seven means completeness, spiritual perfection.
Yes.
It's a number for God, yeah.
Yeah. Really. It's wonderful. And then, you give them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here nothing except five loaves and two fishes. But he said, bring them to me. We give our five loaves and our two fishes to Jesus. And then what do you get? Oh, buddy. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Oh, I don't know how there was grass there, because they were talking about it was a desert place and it was so terrible and out and desolate. They said it was desolate out there. Mm-hmm. But there was grass. Thank goodness for that. And they all sat down on the grass, and it was becoming evening. So there was a cool breeze. I just have to picture it that way. Cool breeze, and the apostle said to him, you know, it's going to be dark soon. Can you just imagine the time of day that it was? The sun was setting, and there was grass to sit on, a nice little breeze. And the kids were tired. They probably all sat down by their parents. And all the thing that was missing was food. But they had Jesus. Mm-hmm. They had the five loaves, they had the two fishes, and they gave them to Jesus. And you know what Jesus did with them?
Prayed over
them. He prayed over them. And I can't imagine Jesus saying anything to the Father except, Father, your will be done. Father, your will be done. Because he said, I never say anything to the Father. I only do what he says to do. I only say what he says to say. I'm sure he only thinks what God said to think, what his Father said to think.
He looked up to heaven.
He looked up to heaven.
Give thanks. Blessed and broke the loaves. Mm-hmm. And then handed the pieces.
He handed them back to the apostles. Well, they probably were still five loaves and two fishes when he handed them back, because otherwise they couldn't have carried them all.
Yeah.
But as, and it said, where was it? Somewhere it says in one of the translations, as they broke the bread and gave it, it multiplied as they gave it. It's, what an amazing thing that as God gives to us and fulfills our needs, and as we bless others and give to others, it multiplies and it multiplies and it multiplies. And
you know that five stands for God's grace and God's goodness. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Showing his goodness to the people.
Yeah. I can imagine that in the spiritual realm, but bringing it into the natural is really hard for us as human beings to picture. You know, just as we break it, and as we give it, and as we give it, and hand out and give all that we have, all that Jesus gave them, they gave out.
Yeah, but can you imagine the people at that time, they were sitting on around, and he was breaking the bread and the fishes, and
yeah,
he's probably in awe. I mean, yeah. How can this be?
You know? How can it be? Mm-hmm. What a beautiful picture of God's goodness. And then,
and that should be an example for us that no matter how little God seems to give you, you know, it's more than enough. Mm-hmm. It's always more than enough. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of times you talk to people, and I've asked people to speak over the years different times, you know, they say, well, you know, I really don't have anything. I don't have anything. Oh, yes, you do. Mm-hmm. And if God asks me to ask you, you know what? He'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. Brother Eddie used to ask me to speak. About two or three times out of all the years that I spoke, down at the church when Brother Eddie was still the pastor, probably maybe two or three times did I have a message before he asked me. Mm-hmm. And when he asked me, if I didn't have a message, I just trusted God that he would give it to me, and he always gave it to me, always did. And see, that's the thing, is that it doesn't take no faith if you're already prepared, other than pushing yourself out there to do it. And, you know, but, you know, if an opportunity opens up, then if you take the opportunity, if God opens the opportunity and you take the opportunity, he'll give you what it's needed for that time. You know, just like these guys, he gave them exactly what was needed for that time. But actually even showed them that I can give abundantly above all that you can think or ask, you know. And, you know, we haven't talked about the number 12 yet, but that's coming up too, so.
And what he gives you is never just for you anyway. It's for the body and the others
right.
And for his glory.
Well, see, I'll tell you something. One time years ago, you know, before I started sharing any prophecy when God would give it to me or anything, you know, I was kind of backward in that. I thought, you know, maybe it's not me, Lord, you know, and all. Maybe it's not you talking, you know, inspiring this. And anyway, I come to find out it was, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me one time, and he says, when I give you something and you don't share it, you're cheating the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now think about that one.
Mm-hmm.
You're cheating the body of Christ. Because if he gives you something, it's like you said, it's not just for you. It's for everybody, his body, whatever he gave, you know. So you have to realize when you put it in that terms, when God starts putting it in that terms to you, then you realize you start feeling really, really under conviction, you know, when you aren't obedient and do what the Lord told you to do, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's a responsibility.
It is.
We should always desire to fulfill.
And the thing is that scripture, you know, that song that I told you, that's one of my favorite songs, Little as Much When God Is In It.
Yes.
Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And see, when God gives you something, I don't care how little it is, we're not supposed to despise this day of small things.
Mm-hmm.
Small things turn into big things. Mm-hmm. Just like this small amount of fish and loaves
in his hand
turned into a large amount of fish and loaves, see? And even when you share a testimony with somebody, and maybe it's only with one person, you know, when God corrects you,
mm-hmm.
you don't know the ramifications of what that's going to do down the line. You know, that one sharing that you did might go 1,000 times over before it's finished, you know. And when you come to realize that nothing is small in God, really, everything's big, no matter what it is, you know,
yes.
Even if it's just a word or just a hug or a pat on the back or whatever God has you do, you know, if you're obedient, you do that, it will accomplish what he wants to accomplish, you know.
I loved what you said before when you said, we say that I don't have anything to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? What we have is perfectly illustrated right here. We have the grace of God. That's that mm-hmm. five. We have God's grace. And that is exactly something that we don't work to obtain. We just have it because he gives it. It is unmerited favor. Don't have to work for it.
Well, think about the other aspect of that, you know, too, is the fact that they didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
The young boy had it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young boy in the crowd that had those a couple fish and a few loaves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was loaves, I don't know necessarily that it was great big old loaves of bread. It was probably little small loaves for his lunch or something, you know. His parents or somebody had given him or whatever. It probably was not a tremendous amount of food. And when you realize that you know, they had nothing. They really had nothing until the boy gave them what he had, you know. And, you know. I don't know if it says that about the boy there, but it says it in other portions of Scripture.
It could have been fish sandwiches.
Yeah, it could have been.
Just little
buns. Could have been. Could have been. Hmm. Well, that's where we need to come to the place where, as we truly get totally obedient what God tells us to do, even in the little bitty things, you know, even in the little small things, we'll find that it does a tremendous blessing, and it goes, it accomplishes whatever God intended for it to accomplish. And guess what? When he put it in their hands, after he blessed it and gave it to them, where did the miracle really happen? In their hands. Mm-hmm. See? And if their natural reaction, what would your natural reaction have been? I'm talking about not thinking spiritually. What would your natural reaction have been in the natural if somebody gave you a little piece of one of them loaves and a little chunk of one of them fish and said, now go out and feed them all?
Yeah.
Your reaction would be, what are you talking about? I can't feed these people. No, your natural reaction would be that, see? But that's where we have to step out sometimes into things that just seem way too big for us to accomplish.
Just begin.
That's right, and that's exactly what we got to do.
Begin the beginning.
I mean, there's a lot of truth in that, all this whole thing. Yes. I mean, it really is, a lot of it, you know. But we have a tendency sometimes to look at the natural part of it rather than the spiritual part. And just imagine this too. Remember when the woman came with the issue of blood, what we're going to talk about in a few minutes when you get to the other number? She had for 12 years. Mm. So there's another 12, see? Mm-hmm. And throughout Scripture, all these numbers, they always mean something. And if people will pay attention with the definition of what those things mean, they'll see what God was really accomplishing in these situations, you know. It's like last week when I said something about, you know, when Abraham was told to go to the mountain range, and that mountain, the name of that mountain range meant see God. Mm-hmm. You'll see God there. And that's why Jesus could say, Abraham did what? Saw my day.
Yes.
And he was glad. I mean, the scriptures sometimes are so, if you dig into them and God shows it to you, they're so daggone, it just amazes you. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, how can you get all this stuff out of the Bible? Well, it's there. If God shows it to you.
Yes.
And it's usually very simple. And it's so simple that a lot of people say, well, you're trying to make it say something it don't say. Mm. No. That's what's being said there. If you really have eyes to see it. If you don't have eyes to see it.
Yes.
Then it was just, go to this mountain range.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard somebody say, I've read that scripture 100 times.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden one day I read it and boom. You know, it changed my life.
That's the way it does, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why we can't glory in our own wisdom or our own understanding, because he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. Unless you approach him as a babe. Mm-hmm. And what does a little kid do when he comes in? You ever talk to a little kid? Little kids are so much fun. I mean, they're really so much fun. Yeah, and what do they say? When you tell them the answer to something, what's the first thing they say to you after that? Why?
Why?
You tell them something else, why? You tell them something else, why? And you know what? God wants us to ask, as a little child, why, Lord?
Yes.
What does this really mean?
Yes.
What do you want me to see in this? You know, do I know there's something right here on the natural plane of it. How does it apply to me spiritually? You know, and boy, when you do that, he will open things up to you and knock your socks off sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm. He will feed you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking one time, I'm sure people have thought of it before, but the way a child thinks, I have never seen a child, although I've not seen every child, but I've never seen a child come in from playing ball in the afternoon and sit down at the dinner table and go, oh my God, I hope there's going to be something to eat. They just live life. Yeah. They, you know, and, oh, I hope Dad made some money today so I can, you know, eat some bread and some fishes. But, you know, and that's the way that 5,000 was. I think they were expecting, because they sat down, they were waiting, you know, for the, I guess, they were waiting for the food truck.
And you know what? And sometimes that's one of the hardest things to do, is if God has you just sit down and do nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Because we naturally want to make something happen, you know what I mean? Especially if you have that kind of nature, if you're that kind of person where you're the accomplisher of things, you know what I mean? It's hard for you.
Yes.
I had to tell one of the brothers here at this church when they first started coming here, they started saying stuff to me, and I said, brother, I said, the Lord has sent you here for you to sit down and listen and learn. And this guy thought he knew a lot of stuff before he came here. But you know what? That's exactly what God had told me to say to him. And, you know, I said that. And I think he did one time tell me, you know, you told me that years ago. And he said, and he did do that for a long time, you know. And, but, you know, that's the hardest thing in the world sometimes, is if you're a doer, to not do, you know. When, and you know, because a lot of times God's not telling you to do something, and then you really mess it up when he's not telling you to do it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what you end up with when you put the five and the two together? Everyone eats. And then at the end, they wound up gathering up what was left over. They had 12 baskets. And you know what that is? That is governmental perfection.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
You know, the funny thing about those numbers, years ago, many years ago, I mean, a lot of years ago, over 50-something years ago, you know, one of the brothers here at church, Brother Carl, had a book from Bill Britton. And this book that he had, a Baptist minister had written this book. And the book was about the meaning of numbers when you see it in Scripture. And see, a lot of times people think, well, oh, it's got to be a kingdom guy. It's got to be, hey, the Lord can teach you from anywhere, anybody, anytime, you know. And I asked that brother, I said, can I borrow that book? And he said, yeah. And I took it and copied the whole book. I copied the whole thing. And I had it for years. And then about 45 years later, I actually saw a book like that published, you know, where it was actually at a bookstore, a Bible bookstore, about the significance of numbers in Scripture, you know. And I looked through there, and everyone was almost exactly the same. You know, the meanings, you know what I mean? And it actually expounded on it a little bit more. But see, even with stuff like that, God sends the right stuff at the right time and all that, you know. And you know, like I've told you all, I had Brother Eddie asked me one time, Oscar, how do you know the stuff you know? He said, I went to Bible school. I don't know some of this stuff. I said, Brother Eddie, I said, there is so much information out there, and if you're obedient when God tells you to get something or buy a book or do this, I bought books and I didn't crack them open for years sometimes, but I felt like God told me to buy it. And then something would come up and boy, I would go, I feel like he'd seen I study into that. And I'd go look and my God, it just jumped out at me when I started looking at it. And it was, you know, I never went to Bible school, but I went to Bible school. Jesus' Bible school. You know what I mean?
At his feet.
At his feet.
Sitting at his feet.
That's the best Bible school.
Rightly dividing as he gave
us. Yeah, that's right. Yes. And see, that we're all like that. You know, and when the Scripture says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God, you know, and that's how you rightly divide it, by studying when he inspires you, best basically to study most of the time. Mm-hmm. You go and memorize the whole Bible, and you won't know the deep truths unless God opens them up to you, you know, because they're just not right there on the surface usually, you know.
But when you read it, it's in here, and there's times that in situations with someone, God will bring it right, forth. Yesterday, there's a friend, she used to come with us down to Elmwood.
Yeah.
And there's times that we would drive down, and that didn't have 675 then. And we would come to the morning service and come back, because when we used to have evening service, uh-huh. and we'd come back. I hadn't talked to her in months. And I called her, I just wanted to call her yesterday. And she returned my call because now she's hard hearing, you know, has hearing aids.
Uh-huh.
And she was going over when she first, we were looking at God's timing in things and really how steps of men are ordered, not good men, steps of men are ordered in God. The first time I was ever brought to her attention, I wasn't saved and was in the 60s. She was a information operator for Champaign County.
Mm-hmm.
And I called back, collect. Mom and Daddy said, call back, because I was the first one to move out of state, you know. And she took my calls. And she said something about my voice always stood out to her. That was in 64, maybe it was before I wasn't saved. I got saved in 65. Next time, she said, we worked at Marvin's, same place where Buddy worked, at Marvin's date company. She said, I wasn't saved then either. And she said, something about me stood out to her. The next time I met her, it was in the 60s again, and I started Dracker Company, and she had started there before
me. Oh my goodness.
And we were working at Dracker Company, and she wasn't saved, but God, I was saved. And she said things that I said and things that we talked about, she knew that God was speaking to her. And so then she ended up going to a meeting with me at Church of God. She gave her heart to the Lord. We prayed for her brother who had had a nervous breakdown. We went and we prayed. For her brother, she ended up, I didn't even have to buy his van, but she ended up babysitting for him and that. And we were talking about God's timing and all those things how it come up. And yesterday we began to pray. We never get to talking that God doesn't present himself. I think that's what it was Sue. I should call Sue and say, what are you doing? She said, come on over. And I said, I'm gonna stop at McDonald's and get some. God never failed to speak to us. We'd be sitting there sharing and talking, and then one time this man gave me a revelation of Richard, gave me a word for Rich, mm-hmm. and he said, oh, I know that's from God. I gave it to him. Yeah, and he had a little heart upon it. But I just think how precious it is when we come among one another and we share the Christ. And he begins to manifest himself even more to us and in us and one another because of this coming together.
That's actually the meaning of that word too, that unity, that union.
Yes.
Two becoming one.
And all week, last week he was giving me the song, It's a New Hour, It's a New Day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new, and the words is the amount of these are the ones, revelation is what it gave me in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Revealing the Father, exalting the Son, as changing God's people and making them one.
Yes.
Oh, and I just.
Yeah. Mm. Sing a new song, walk a new way.
Jesus. Mm. Yes, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
And I was living that. And they were showing the splash down and watching, you know, that and all. But my desire is, my God, that we can live together on this earth you have given us and manifest you and be one. And this is, you know, and I look at the science and look at all this. They haven't touched. We haven't touched what God has done and what is out. No, haven't touched. But God, what is his desire?
It cannot enter into our mind yet.
When he came here to be with us and to show us him, that we become him, I just, oh, I just amazed. And I said, Lord, that we can live together, that we can be as one, that is your desire. Because what did Jesus say? That we may be one as he and the Father are one. And this is,
I love that.
Oh yes, Lord. I said, we just like you just scrape the surface, just like this.
Praise the Lord. It's good.
Jesus. You can tell when you're reading or sharing what is feeding. What is feeding that emptiness, and you know, that going out and going in. I think that is one of the biggest stories of this right here, is that what had the disciples seen happen? What did they see? Had they comprehended, or obviously not comprehended, the greatest up until then, physical manifestation of Christ in them, because they were the ones who handed it out. And then he said, as Buddy read on, immediately, I think, did you say in verse 22?
He read Buddy, to...
He said,
then he, that's 20, if you want 22.
22.
Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time out on the sea, many furlongs. It says here, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile, but I also read where it was talking about a stadia, and that's 600 feet from land. So that's how far the boat was out from land, 600 feet.
Well, the King James says, straightway. And that means immediately. Immediately after. So, and that was in the early, it was dark, it was becoming dark. So, you know.
3 to 6 a.m. It was in the a.m., it says here.
Oh, I mean, when before, it was evening it was coming, when they fed the 5,000.
This is when.
Yeah.
He's coming back and walking.
So, I mean, that was a good 12 hours later. But 12 hours from having, I mean, what were they discussing? Jesus wasn't with them. He went up to be alone, which was all that he really wanted to do right then, even before. He wanted to just spend some time quietly with his Father. Then, he told the apostles to get on the boat immediately, right after this happened, get on the boat and go on out there. So they had seen this amazing thing. And then Jesus said, get on the boat and go across and I'll meet you on the other side. And what did they do? They got out there, and what did they learn? Oh my gosh, we're gonna die. We're going to die. And
when
the fear.
Tossed and beaten, it says the wind was against them.
Yes.
And that's when he appeared and came to them walking on the sea.
Yes.
And they saw him. They were terrified and said, "It's a ghost."
4 o'clock in the
morning.
They
screamed out,
yes,
with fright.
And a ghost!
Instantly he spoke to them, "Take courage," and he just said, "I am. I am."
You go back, you go to Exodus 3:14, that's what God told Moses to tell the people, "I am that
who is." Uh-huh. Who sent you? Who says, "I am"?
Do you think that could happen to us? Do you think that we could sit there and not only watch, but be a part of? See, pick the bread up and see it multiply as we handed it out and handed it out?
I believe doing it, but being amazed, my goodness, you'd have to hear it.
That's right. And then what? 12 hours later, you're sitting out there so full of fear, not only that you're going to die, but that dying is going to be this terrible thing. You know, when Jesus had made it clear, you know.
And Peter, you might know, Peter answered him and said,
"Come on, tell it.
Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And what did Jesus say?
Come on. Because he said, "If it's you,
command me.
And he said, "Come on, it's me."
And Peter had the faith to really step out, but he didn't keep his eye up on the Lord. Mm. He began to be aware of everything around about him. That's what we do.
Yes.
We're going through things, and yeah, God is there wanting us to
see
him.
Yeah.
In the midst of what we're going through. And what do we do? Take our eyes off of him and looking at everything around.
Oh, looking at the circumstances.
How's it going to work out? Is it going to be favorable?
Yeah.
Is...
yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Foolish. Uh-uh. Foolish people of little faith.
I tell you. Are you wanting him to read further?
Yeah, go ahead. Want to read a little bit further
toward Jesus? 28. You ended at 27, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Peter asked him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came towards Jesus. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened, and as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me from death." Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat knelt and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at, what was that?
Genesaret?
Yeah. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding countries and brought to him all the who were sick, and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched, it was perfectly restored.
Mm. Okay.
Wonderful.
What was it that messed it up for Peter when he, let's see, "Bid me to come walk with you on the water"? But when Peter saw the wind, boisterous, what's that word mean? Boisterous.
And felt it. That he felt it, you know.
Strong, violent, forcibly firm, sure, forcibly uttered.
He became frightened.
I don't know that I've ever felt wind like that. It'd be like a tornado. You know, you were standing trying to stand against the wind. But what is it that the thing that we are trying to protect is our body? And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't just laugh at us about that. The things that we do to avoid wrinkles and bent over and achy bones and all that stuff, I sometimes wonder if God doesn't just laugh at us like, when are you going to learn? You have an eternal body. Give it to the Lord. Let him pray over it.
And then there it gives a little Matthew where it says, and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment, and many touched it. And then it gave the reference to Matthew 9:20, when the woman with the issue for 12 years, it showed that, and said, behold, a woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health, and I have written in her, be made whole. Jesus turned around seeing her, and said, take courage, daughter, because your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was restored to health. Mm. Yes.
The hem of his garment is the place where the covering of Christ touches the earth. You know, it's that thing that hangs down, and as he walks, you know, it touches the earth. So the glory of God gets down here to where we can touch it. If we can touch the hem of his garment, the fringe. In the New Testament, it's a little appendage hanging down from the edge of the mantle or cloak made of twisted wool. Well, we've all seen those. A tassel. Mm-hmm. Touch the hem of it.
This makes me think of her when he was telling them to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Mm-hmm. Many turned away, and many had followed because of the fishes and the loaves and that. Mm-hmm. And then he asked Peter, who do they say, you know, I am? Who do you say I am? And what Peter told him who he knew he was. Yeah.
During, up until the time that Jesus was crucified and people said that he blasphemed, when Peter said, who do people say that I am? Do you think that anybody in those days, right at that time of his ministry, said that he was of the devil?
Oh, they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Beelzebub.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Said he did that stuff by Beelzebub.
Yeah. They won't believe it was.
How do you not be deceived? You know, if you're just if you're just a guy, you know, going along, and not particularly, and you hear about these great and mighty works, why would your mind go to someone who does such good things and say that he does good by the spirit of Beelzebub?
Because they don't know him. They don't know him.
Yeah.
He said, my sheep know my voice.
That's right.
Another they will not follow.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important. I think of his mother saying to him, you have to know him for yourself.
Yes.
I don't care what you hear of others, uh-huh. what you see, uh-huh. and what they believe.
Yeah.
Guarded. And like when he asked him, well, who do you say I am? Uh-huh. What did Peter tell him? The Christ.
Jesus.
Where would we go? There is no other. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is Jesus. No other.
So important to know him for yourself. To know his voice.
Well, I guess it's about time. Anybody have anything else? We got another 1 or 2 minutes. That was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Remember that when the grace of God and the union, the coming together of two into one, mix together, you end up with the perfection, the governmental perfection. All things work together for good.
Don't you? I know I look forward to us getting together. And then there's other groups that people are getting. Mm-hmm. To see what God's speaking to them, because it's all for us. Mm-hmm. And I get excited about it.
You know how... You know how your phone is these days with the artificial intelligence and everything? All you have to do is say, oh, well, I got a new skillet last week. And immediately your phone will start showing ads for skillets and Dutch ovens and who sells them and who's got them on sale and why you need one.
It tells you, because it tells you, it's listening to everything you do, everything
yes.
you say.
Yes. Well, isn't that crazy about... in the spiritual life as well. We talk about something in here, and soon God is showing us the same thing in other groups and in our minds and in our hearts and in the universe around us that just melts together with the things that we talk about here and in other places, and the story becomes full.
Because he's ever speaking.
Ever, yes.
He's ever speaking.
We'll walk out of here. It's just like Oscar says, you know, we walk out of here and go into that, and he'll say something in the service that God had already given him that perfectly blends with what we talk about here today. And all things work together for good. For those who are being called. Are all called? Are they? I'm asking you the question. Are we all called? Eventually.
Well, if we aren't now, we will be.
Yes, eventually. Whatever it takes, God will have his
purpose. There's a purpose for all men.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say, even when we look at Judas and look at every.
Look at Sarah.
Yeah, do look. Everyone comes with a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And they fulfill their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Plan and a purpose.
Yeah, that's hard for us to comprehend at times because mm-hmm. We have such a limited amount of understanding at times. You know what I mean? We don't see the total picture of God. He lets us see just little bitty fragments.
Exactly the way
yes.
he did Abraham.
And what we can actually handle, he lets us see at the time, you know. Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Moses.
What was that they say? In God's hand is his plan?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Clive used to quote that all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
That all the time.
Yeah. Buddy, yeah. Will you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for your word, Father, and showing us the way, Lord.
Yes. Jesus.
Through your word, Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love toward all of us, Father. Just have your way today in both in the main service, Father, and Let your word speak to us, speak to our hearts and our minds, and bring forth your love out of us, Father. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Yes.